You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Psalms 23. Psalms 23, of course, is one that most all of us know. I'm amazed that people can quote Psalms 23. People that don't really even know Jesus can quote Psalms 23. Of course, the Jews can quote it. But there are a lot of people that are just basically non-religious. I know in the military, in World War I, World War II, a lot of them in the foxholes would quote Psalms 23 and had it memorized, and they would just go over it. It's something you hear at funerals quite often. You know, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever is the way it ends. And so it's appropriate and proper and fits, you know, at a funeral. I like to quote it at the gravesite when we go to the gravesite after the funeral and quote it along with Revelation 21 where it talks about having a new heaven, a new earth, where there's no more crying and dying, no more sickness, no more pain, no more sorrow, former things passed away, all things become new. You know, that's a good one to quote at the graveside because that grave's temporary. Hallelujah. There's coming a day those graves will be opened. There's coming a day we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth, and everything's going to be different. But here, the psalmist, David, was just, you know, he was just praising God and thinking on the goodness of God, as we should too. He had his focus not on the opposition of his day or his life, but had his focus on his God, his ally, his strength, and his protection. In this case, his shepherd. You know, I often think about that. We often would think if we lived in different times, you know, if we lived when they didn't have the problems we have. There never was a time people didn't have problems. I mean, if you want a time with not a lot of politics, David's day would be a good time to live with not a lot of politics. You know, they just had a king, and they just barely had one, just a new king, Saul, and then David became the second one. But, you know, you had to contend with things like Goliath and giants and bears and things like that, and Philistines and fights and famine. And, you know, there were still things to contend with. There always will be and always has been. As long as you're in this earth, there are going to be things to contend with. So we're not in any unique times in that respect. Maybe our problems in and of themselves are unique, but problems are not. Generally speaking, problems are not unique. Everybody has those opportunities and conflicts. But what it has to do in life, if you want to be successful in life, if you want to have joy in life, if you want to have peace in life, if you want to have confidence in life, if you want to have you had a good day lately, if you want to have a good day, then you're going to have to focus on some things that matter. You're going to have to focus on some things that count. Focus on what gives you strength. Focus on the answer, not the problem. We can talk problems all day long. Are there answers? That's the question. That's what I want to know. We can talk about being in prison all day long, but hey, is there a gate? Is there a way out? Can we escape this thing? That's what I want to know. And we ought to be those kinds of people that look for a way out, that look for an escape, that look for answers, look for help, strength, and hope. Well, good news. I got great news for you. As Christians and believers, hallelujah, we have strength. We have God. We have Jesus. We have His Word. We have the Holy Spirit. Yes. Those are the things we ought to focus on. Those are the things that we ought to talk about. Those are the things that we ought to lean on and trust in things, not just things, people, person, the person of God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And so David was just meditating on God in the middle of his life as he's going through his duties as a shepherd. Thinking about how he was taking care of those sheep. Thinking how David himself was taking care of sheep and feeding sheep and guiding sheep and leading sheep and raising sheep. And he was meditating on that and then thinking about God. And he starts out by saying this, "The Lord is my shepherd. Just like I'm taking care of this sheep, He takes care of me. Just like I feed these sheep, He feeds me." Are you with me? Just like they need me, I need Him. I love that. And I love how personal he makes it. This is talking about a relationship. He's talking about provision. He's talking about, you know, some confidence for the future. Hallelujah. I don't have to worry because someone's taking care of me. Amen. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack. I shall not go without. I shall not starve. I shall not die. I shall make it. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, but I this happened and that happened. Did you hear this news? Did you hear that? And did you hear this? And do you know what's going on? You watch the news? Well, I watch news. I know what's going on. But the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I like the way he personalizes that. He doesn't say the Lord is a shepherd or the Lord is the shepherd. He says the Lord is my shepherd. We can often say, and rightly so, we'll say God is a good God. He is. But God is my Father. He's my God. Amen? He's not just a good God. He doesn't just do miracles, and he's not just a miracle worker. He doesn't just heal. He's not just a healer. He doesn't just provide and take care of people. He's not just a provider. No. He is my healer. He's not just a savior. He's my savior. He's not just a shepherd. He's my shepherd. Are you out there? It's wonderful to see how God does miracles and helps people. Isn't that great how he helped them? Isn't that great how he healed them? Isn't that great how he did that miracle for them? Isn't that great how he provided for them? Isn't it great how they called on God and God came through? Isn't that wonderful what happened there where they split the Red Sea and they crossed the dry land? Isn't that awesome how the manna came down from heaven? Hallelujah. Water came out of a rock. That's a wonderful story. I think that's awesome how that widow was, her fountain of blood was dried up after 12 years and Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead. Hallelujah. And Bartimaeus' blind eyes were opened and the leper was cleansed. And it's awesome what God did for them. But see, this is the deal. This is the deal. He is my healer.
Right. Amen.
He is my shepherd. So what I should say then is he is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack. Well, what are we going to do? I shall not lack. Well, how can you say that? The Lord is my shepherd. Y'all get it? You know, in fact, if you look at David many times through the Psalms, you'll see David making statements, you know, making statements of fact. The Lord's my shepherd. And then he'll make a statement of faith. This is what we ought to do with the Bible. The Bible is meant to be stood upon. It's meant to be acted on. It's meant to be believed and instituted into our lives. You need to connect yourself with the Bible. Not just read it. That's a good word. That's a good promise. That's great. That's wonderful. God's good. Okay, God's a healer. Yeah, hey. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No, it's more than that. Come on, it's not just he is a healer. He's not just a savior. We need to connect the dots. We need to, after we make this statement of fact, the Lord is my shepherd, we need to make a statement of faith, I shall not want. Follow up the facts with faith. Does God say this? Yes, he does. Well, what are you going to say then? Hello? See, David wasn't confused. I mean, he talked about who God was and he talked about what that meant concerning him. He connected him with God and his promises and his word. He had a relationship with God, and so do we. We're saved. We're washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We've been born again. We're Christians. We're believers. Our Father is God. God is our Father. Hallelujah. That means something. So when we find out something about God here, oh, hallelujah. That means something about me. Doesn't it? Because God's not a healer for him. He doesn't need healing. He's not a miracle worker for himself. He doesn't need a miracle. You see, all that is for us. And we need to make the connection. And that's, if I see anything there, even in that first verse, right off the bat, I mean, he hits it running, you know. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. Hallelujah. The Lord's my shepherd, that means something about me. That means I won't lack. I am going to make it. He is going to take care of me. And then he breaks it down. Just like a shepherd would take care of a sheep, he begins to talk about it. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Green, not dried up with a drought. Not rocky, not dirt. Green, good food. Green, we'd say steaks, you know, something good. We just barely get by, just cornbread and beans. We go down to Dairy Queen and get all we can eat on Wednesdays or whatever day that is. They do that for, you know, cheap. No, he didn't say that. He said, he makes me lie down in green pastures. There's rest and supply and good, good supply. Not just living on getting by street. Hello. Not living on not enough street. Not living on barely getting on by street. But living on more than enough street. More than enough. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me by the still waters. You know, a sheep is hesitant if the water's very rough, very running, very fast. They just won't drink at all because they'll choke. Water gets up in their noses and everything, so they don't drink from a real fast rushing stream. And so the smoother the water, the easier it is for them to drink without harm coming to them. So you lead sheep to still waters. They drink better, and you know, you have less chance of losing them, because if they fall off in the water, if it's running, all that sheepskin, that wool, it weighs them down, and they can't swim. It just carries them right on down the water. So they have a lot of concern and fear when it comes to that rushing water. A good shepherd will take them to smooth water where they're not apt to fall in and be taken down, you know, the current, as it were. So that's wisdom on the part of the shepherd. That's protection on the part of the shepherd. Are you with me? And that's convenience that he provides for the sheep. Now he's saying he does that. He's saying the Lord does that for us. The Lord doesn't, you know, won't put us in situations where we're apt to fall into the current and go rushing down the stream and get lost. We don't have to be afraid of that. God's going to take care of us. Hallelujah. He's going to lead us by the still waters. Now he'll lead us too. Now he doesn't leave us in a lurch. He doesn't leave us without any direction, without any wisdom. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me by the still waters. So God leads us if we'll take time to listen. Obviously, not everybody prays, not everybody seeks God, not everybody follows that inward witness, as it were. I couldn't count the times I felt a nudge or a pull or a tug or peace in a certain area, or a resistance, unrest, a check and a stop in another area. And you know what? When that happens in your spirit, you need to listen to that, because that's God trying to lead you. He's trying to stop you from doing something. That's that unrest that's going on. You need to get peace about decisions in your life, important decisions, people in your life, those kinds of things. If you have a strong unrest and you can't get peace about something, more than likely God's telling you not to do it. Now, if you have a real rest and a real peace about something, God's leading you. See, we are the children of God. And those that are the children of God are led by, the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. So what David is saying, even way back here in the Old Testament, is that God doesn't just provide. He doesn't just provide very well and very safely, but the Lord also leads. He guides. He guides us and leads us. We need to cultivate the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know, when you want to say something and something inside of here, right inside your spirit, right inside your gut or wherever it is, I mean, your spirit's all over you. There's no locale where it is. I kind of point that way because the Bible says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. You know, where Jesus poured out the water on the ground. He says, come, any man thirst, come unto me and drink. And this is, he spake of the Spirit, but the Spirit was not yet given, but and he says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. What is it, John 7:37, where it says that? Because that's kind of where your spirit, I think, you know, biblically speaking, is. But I suppose it's your whole body. Your spirit holds up your arms, your feet, your head, and everything. But out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, speaking of the Spirit. When you have an unrest here, you ever wanted to tell somebody something? Yeah. You wanted to assert your authority, or you wanted to have your say? Give them a piece of your mind, and your stomach is going up in knots here, and hello. And sometimes you went ahead and did it anyway, wished you hadn't. I know you. No, nobody in here ever did that. But I remember Brenda did it one time. That's what I'm referring to. But I've done that, and you know, that whole time I'm thinking, you knucklehead, you knew that was wrong. You knew it was wrong. You knew it was wrong. You did it anyway. Your pride, you did it anyway. And inside the whole time, you're all twisted, all turned in. See, that spirit saying, no, don't do that. Don't say that. Hello. That's leading. That's what that is. And so, you know, You know, David was very much on being led by the Spirit. You can read some of the battles David went into. He'd get down and pray. They'd pray and seek God to see where they should continue, where they ought to pursue or where they shouldn't pursue. And if God said go, they'd go. If he said no, they didn't go. As good as it looked, as wise as they were, as you know, as good as they were at battles and so on and so forth, they knew God knew what they didn't know. And sometimes we're just too smart. Hello. Well, we ought to stop. Think about Psalm 23. The Lord leads us. Take time to listen to Him. Ask Him what you should do. That's a good one. Guys aren't real good at that. You know, taking directions, reading manuals and so on and so forth. Well, this is the manual of life. The Bible is the manual for living. We ought to read it every once in a while. Your life will work a little better. So he says, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Hallelujah, somebody. He revives me. I don't get burnt out. You know, we're going on 30 years here in the church. I'm not burnt out. Are you kidding me? I'm so fired up. I'm so excited about the Word. I'm so excited about the church. I'm so excited about the future. I'm so excited about the next message, you know, and I'm so excited about what we're going to be doing in the days to come and the things we're going to accomplish. How is that possible? I used to wonder, Brother Osteen. I used to watch Brother Osteen, you know, when we were going to church there, thinking about how many years he'd been preaching at that time. And, you know, and he, of course, he's probably about my age. I thought he was an old guy at that time. But we, you know, we started going there. It went about 7 years, and I listened to him preach. Man, I was there every time a door opened, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every special service, every conference, every convention. You know, we just, man, and I'd go hear him preach at other places he'd go preach at, you know, and I'd watch Brother Osteen. He'd get up. He's excited about the Word. He was always up. It wouldn't matter what was going on in the world or what was going on in their life, and they had challenges. You would never know it when he hit that pulpit. He got up there happy. He got up there excited. He got up there anointed. He got up there with a fire in his spirit, you know. And I think, man, how could you just do that? And just day in and day out. That's amazing. I'd think, you know, you finally get tired. Well, here I am now 30 years down the road doing the same thing and thinking, I know how he does it now. The Lord restores our soul.
Right. Yeah.
Some people talk about burnout, though, because people do get burnt out doing things. But the things of God, if you're staying close to God and you're trusting God and you're passionate about Him, and you know, you're a worshiper, you ought to worship God, then you won't burn out. I think you can burn out doing things for God, ministering for God, but you can't burn out ministering to God. That's what Peter said to the pastors of his day, to the elders, of his day, he said, take heed to yourself and to the flock, which the Holy Ghost made you an overseer. I think sometimes we don't take heed to our own spiritual life, and we're spending all of our time trying to minister to everybody else. That's important. You do need to minister to others. That's what it's all about. But if you don't have your own relationship with God, and you don't worship Him individually, you don't read your Bible individually, you can burn out doing things for God. People get burnt out doing church work. They get burnout pastoring churches. They get burnout teaching classes, burnout doing all kinds of things. Now, that's not to say ministries can't change. I know that some people may teach for a while and feel like God is moving in another area. But I don't anticipate nor foresee that one day I'm going to get up and say, well, you know, I'm just tired of church. I don't see that day coming. And if that thought ever crosses my mind, I know I got to hit my knees and get right because something's wrong with me. Are you with me? I am not spending time with God. I'm not out there singing Psalms 23.
Right.
I'm not allowing the Lord to restore my soul.
Right.
See, the Lord will restore your soul. You say, well, I just feel like I'm spinning my wheels and no purpose. And you know, people fight depression nowadays. I guess there's so many things to choose from, people are confused. Mm-hmm. We live in an age where there's just so many things that can be gotten and so many things that we had and so many channels on TV you can't... You got 150 channels and you don't even know what to watch. So you just flip through all of them, you know. What'd you watch last night? Everything, you know. I don't want to watch it. What do you mean? You want to watch? When I grew up, you know, they didn't hardly, not everybody had a TV. We had a TV. It was black and white, you know. We had like three channels. They were all fuzzy. They didn't work all the time. And because we didn't have a lot of choices, we'd sit around there glued watching anything. And before that, people listened to the radio. Now, I'm not trying to go back to that. I'm not making a point. I'm not trying to be redneck here. I'm just saying sometimes, especially in this age we live in, we're bored because there's too much to do. Not because there's not anything to do. We're bored because there's too many choices. Too much to do. And there's one thing that we need to do. There's one thing that needs to be foremost in our life. There's one thing that needs to be priority. And that should be the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And our relationship with Him. When's the last time you talked to Him? When's the last time you prayed? When's the last time you worshiped Him? When's the last time you just said, oh, thank you, Jesus, for something in your life, something going on in your life? When's the last time you read your Bible? Now, I realize I'm preaching to the choir here, but I'm just stirring us. God restores our soul. He'll keep you out of depression. He'll give you purpose. He'll keep you on your feet, keep you going, give you purpose, give you meaning. Amen? He restores my soul. I love that. I mean, Paul, David is talking about God, and yet you cannot talk about God without talking about what He means to you. It's impossible to do that. You just cannot. How long can you talk about God without some point coming down to He saved you, He's healed you, He's answered your prayers, been good to you? If you can talk very long about God without getting to that point, making it personal, then you need to get saved. And David was, this is about what God does. This is about what God does for David. And really it speaks to us volumes about what He does for us. That should be the way we think about God. That should, the way we relate to God, the way we connect with God, the way it was meant to be, is that we ought to think of God in terms of His love for us, His care for us. Because God's not an abstract, tyrannical, egomaniac ruler that's meticulously controlling everything that goes on, and we're all puppets on a string. God is a Father who loves us with an everlasting love, who cares for us, who protects us, who leads us, who guides us, who encourages and restores us. Are you with me? See, it's interesting. I love this. This is a little technical, but I know that in Greek philosophy, the terms of concerning God are all abstract. They're just like omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. These are all abstract terms. God is all-powerful, all-power, omnipotent. God's all-knowing, omniscient. God is all-present, omnipresent. But in a Hebrew mind, especially in the Old Testament, when you look at the words concerning God, they're all personal. They're very personal. Even when it says creator, the word creator comes from a word that denotes like a mother hen taking care of her little, making a nest for her little chicks. Are you with me? All you chicks out here. The word even in Hebrew, creator, means it has a personal connotation. It's not just abstractly making things. He is preparing for His people. And that's what He did. He made the whole world. And then the last thing He made man and He put him in it. And even Jesus said when He looked at Jerusalem, He said, oh, how many times like a mother hen would I have taken you under my wings, but you would not. That's the picture, see. But we think of God in terms, abstract terms, because of the influence of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates and the Greek philosophers. And if we're not careful, see, then God is just, God's in control. We often hear that a lot in Christian circles. In fact, that's a huge doctrine in a lot of churches, that God's in control. Now, I understand God made everything. God can do anything He wanted to. But I think we're missing something here. This is not a mechanistic system, okay? This is not just a machine. The creation and you and I are just not machines. No. If God is anything, He's love. That's what He is. Are you out there? And if anything, He's very changeable. I know he doesn't change in his love for us, but he's constantly changing the way he deals with us. I know he's the Lord God, I change not. But what he means by that is he won't change his character. He won't hate you. Are you with me? He won't lie. He won't do those kinds of things. But as far as changing, well, he changes with us all the time. You get in sin, you repent, he forgives you. He has some desire for you to go do something, you don't do it. You repent, and then he gives you something else to do. Are you with me? You didn't fulfill his perfect will. Well, he's got another will over here. If you didn't get that right, we'll start over again. He works with us. Why? Because he is a daddy. See? He's not a machine. He's not all power, all knowing, ever present. Well, yeah, he is. Lots of power, no question. Nobody more powerful than God. I agree with that. But you know what? He shared his power with us. That's the first thing he gave man was authority. So David looks at God and he doesn't call him the big man upstairs. You know, the dude pushing all the buttons and pulling all the letters and everything crosses his desk. Nothing happens without him doing it. No, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down green pastures. He leads me by still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Hallelujah. I love that. He leads me in a good path. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Because really, you know, when his kids look good, he looks good. When the sheep looks good, the shepherd looks good. When the cows look good, the rancher looks good. You go down the road and you see a bunch of skinny, underfed, diseased cows and a couple of them laying over dead in the gully, you know, not a good reflection on a rancher. But you run across a ranch where their coats are shiny and they're fat and looking good, got lots of hay. You think, man, that guy really takes care of his cows. That's a reflection on a rancher, see. And so a shepherd, when we're blessed, God looks good. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 5:16. He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I love that. So I am a reflection of God's goodness. That's why we need some healings. Come on. We need some victories. We need some prosperity. We need some get out of some of those financial messes. We need some victories instead of failures. We need to get back up on our feet again. We need people getting delivered. We need testimonies because that reflects the shepherd. For his name's sake. Come on. Just for his name's sake. You remember Moses? God decided he was going to destroy all the Israelites because they all rebelled against him. I mean, they cried out and said, God, we should have stayed in Egypt. I mean, you talk about a rebellious, stiff-necked people. Hard-hearted people. That's what the Bible calls the Israelites. I mean, they're all ready to load up and turn around and go back to Egypt because those 10 spies came back with a bad report in Numbers 13 in Kadesh Barnea. Where 12 were sent out and 10 came back with the bad and 2 came back with the good, Joshua and Caleb. Well, they decided, they got so mad at Moses and Aaron, they were going to stone them. And God said, I'm done. That's it. I'm done. Go wipe them all out. Start over with you, Moses and Aaron. I'm sure he would have, you know, spared Joshua and Caleb and started with those that believed. And Moses said an amazing thing. Yeah, I still don't understand that passage of Scripture. It does say it this way, and I believe it because it's in the Bible. He says, Lord, what are all these nations going to say about you if you do that? He actually appealed to how God was going to look when it was all said and done. I love that. And Moses was concerned about God's reputation. God didn't care. He didn't care what anybody thinks. Doesn't have to. He's God. He doesn't see. God didn't do that just so he would look good. I want to tell you that right now. Because God doesn't really need your approval or my approval. He doesn't live for the praise of people. But Moses was very concerned about it because that was his God. And he did that for Moses. Didn't do it for himself. Did it for Moses because he told Moses, he said, because you cried out, I'm going to do this. I'm going to spare them. I'm going to let them, I'm going to live, but they're not going to see the Canaan land. They're going to wander for 40 years and they're going to die in that wilderness. That whole generation is going to die. And only their seed will go into the land of Canaan 40 years later. And that's what happened. And I think it's significant the way Moses said that. What are people going to say about you? I wonder, do we think like that? See, these are great men of God. David, Moses. Wouldn't you like to be like Moses, David? I would. They spent a lot of time thinking about living their life in a way that made God look good. Wow. They did. You know, that's what Moses is concerned, what God's going to look like. Are you concerned of the picture that you're going to give to the world of God? Good question. We should be. Because the right picture is He's a good God. The right picture is He hears and answers prayer. The right picture is He's a healer. The right picture is He is a provider. The right picture is He's a peace giver. The right picture is He gives confidence and He gives strength and gives encouragement. And we ought to live our life in such a manner that will show that and reflect that. Man, that's good preaching. That's good preaching. And David's talking about what God does. And he's saying, He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. For His name's sake. In other words, David said, when I live right, God looks good. What happens when you don't live right? Anybody remember any evangelist falling? Anybody remember any TV preacher fail? Anybody heard any criticism from media or from people that are not serving God when that happened? Lots of it. Anybody experienced a little criticism yourself when somebody else, like some big preacher, fell? I heard the jokes and the criticism and the, you know, it just brings a black mark on God. So when I walk in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake, He looks good. And He leads us in the paths of righteousness. And those people that fell did not listen to God when they fell. God tried to stop them, I guarantee He did. And they didn't listen. And when you sinned, you didn't listen to God either. And when I sinned, I didn't listen to God. So he goes on and says this. I'll have to speed this up because at this rate, we're not going to finish in time. But not that I'm on a clock here, but we want to get you home in a decent hour. So he says, he leads me in the path. There again, there's that leading. Leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake because He looks good. Hallelujah. And then he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, been there, done that, got the T-shirt. We've all been there. Trying times in our lives. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. How in the world can you maintain your composure and your demeanor? How in the world can you keep your chin up? How in the world can you believe you have a future with all that's going around you in this crisis that you're in this tragedy that you're experiencing? How can you do that? Well, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. See, God means something to us. He means something in our lives. He's not just a belief system, you know, abstract belief system in our mind. He is a personal God that we have a relationship with. And that's what Dave was saying under the old covenant. Here we are under the new covenant. Hallelujah. And when things get tough, we're not alone. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I'm with you even unto the ends of the earth. The Lord said that He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we don't fear what man should do. This is in Hebrews 13:5. It says, for the Lord hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we might boldly say, the Lord is with me, I will not fear what man shall do to me. I love that. Now think about that. The writer of Hebrews is saying very plainly, in fact, turn there. Let's just turn there. Hold your place in Psalm 23. Hebrews, that's when men make coffee. 13th chapter. Hebrews chapter 13. Notice what it says in the fifth verse. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. Now think about it. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Now what did David say? He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I like that. No fear, because I believe God's with me. Now, you got to believe God's with you or fear does come in. But if you have a strong relationship with God and you understand His presence in your life, that He loves you and He's for you, He's there to protect you and take care of you, then you don't have to fear. But it's also interesting here, and I always like to bring this out, that it says, He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so we may boldly say. King James says, that we may boldly say. Everything God said, He said, that we may boldly say. Yeah. Something personal about what He said. Everything the Lord said, He said so that we could boldly say something personal. Y'all getting it? Connect the dots? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord said, He's my shepherd. I shall not want. I boldly say, I shall not want. The Lord said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Well, then I can boldly say, the Lord's my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. The Lord said, He'll supply all my needs according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So I don't care what the economy does. Oh, I do care. I mean, I'm praying for it and I would like for it to turn around. But whatever the economy does, I'm going to be just fine. I will boldly say, amen, the Lord will supply my needs, amen, according to the riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Because God said something. And when God says something, that gives me the open door to say something. When God says something, then I can boldly say something on the basis of what God says. Now, if I don't know what God says, I can't boldly say anything. But if I know what God says, I can boldly make a statement, personal statement, connect the dots, put it me in that scripture, connect it with me, make it personal. He's not just a shepherd, He's my shepherd, which means I shall not want. The Lord is my helper, He helps me, hallelujah, which means I will not fear. I love that. That's what David was doing. The Lord is my light and my salvation, he said in Psalms 27. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Though my enemies came up against me, they stumbled and fell. See what he would say? The Lord is my light. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Yeah. You make a statement about God, personal, my light, my strength. And then you make a bold statement of faith. That's what we see in David. In the Psalms and the things that he said, and we see it all through the New Testament too. Back to Psalms. Psalms 23. So he says, yea, though I walk through the valley. Everybody say through. Okay, you don't stay there, you go through. Through the valley, you may be going through a mess right now. I don't know. You give a mess a little time, a little age. You put a little age with a mess, you have a message. Y'all put that together? M-E-S-S-A-G-E. You put a little age with that mess, and you got a message. You put a little money with that test, and you got a testimony. You put it that way. You know, maybe you're in a mess, but you're going to have a message when this is all done. Maybe you're in a mess, but you're going to come through this mess. It just came to pass. It didn't come to stay. Came to pass. Why? Because the Lord is with you. His rod and His staff, they comfort you. Man, that's good, isn't it? So God comforts us. God protects us. God gives us faith instead of fear. God is with us. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, you comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Sure, there's going to be opposition. There's going to be people against you. You're going to go through some things, you know, but right in the middle of all that, there's going to be a table prepared for you. The blessing of God, the hand of God, the anointing of God, the provision of God, the promise of God, all going to be there right in the midst of your enemies. That's all right. Let the devil holler. Let him scream. He may come as a roaring lion, seeking whom may devour, but he may not devour us. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, the Bible says. Resist him by believing God, trusting God. Resist the devil, resist the evil, resist the opposition, resist the enemy. And sit down at the table that God has prepared for you. You know, you in life, it's a smorgasbord. I mean, it's a buffet. It's no question. The devil puts out stuff all the time. If you want to fill your plate with that, go right ahead. Or you can sit down at God's table and eat what he's prepared. And grant it and write it down, get it in your spirit. The Lord has prepared a table for you in the presence of your enemies. When you think that's the only thing on the menu, you need to sit down at God's table because there's always something else. There's always something better. There's always something else you can eat. You don't have to eat what the devil puts on the... You don't have to eat what the devil serves. You don't have to eat in his restaurant. Are you with me? Yeah, but did you hear this? And I had this happen, and I got this notice, and I got this, and I got that. Okay, well, that's fine. That's what the devil's trying to serve you. I understand that. But the Lord has a table prepared in the presence of your enemies. Now you sit down and be still, know he's God. Psalm 46, verse 8 says, be still, know that I am God. Hallelujah. Woo! Are you with me? And eat off his table. I would rather eat off God's table. I've read the bad news, and I've read the good news. I think I'll eat off the good news, not the bad news. I heard the last economic report, and I've heard God's report. I've heard the price of gold going down. Hello. Or stocks are going down, or whatever else going down. But I've heard the price of the Lord Jesus Christ's blood that was shed for me hasn't lost any value and never will. And I was bought not with gold, silver, wood, hay, stubble, or precious stones. I was bought and paid for, and so were you, with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got a higher value on me than the world has put on me. Values are determined by how much you pay for something. How much did God pay for you? That's how valuable you are. Yeah. Amen? We often hear about some painting being found or some song or lyrics being found by some famous artist that has died or whatever, you know. $1 million in an auction or $2 million in an auction it sells for, and you think, wow, that is amazing. So I tell you what something's worth. It's worth what anybody will pay for it. That's what it's worth. So you are worth whatever God paid for you. That's pretty high. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're of great value. Amen. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I love that. He takes care of us. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Hallelujah, somebody. Don't even have enough. There's so much of it, I don't even have enough. Woo! You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Hallelujah. You know, think about that anointing. I like that. Paul's talking, of course, about the anointing. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runs over. You know, I think sometimes we just need a little more anointing. Does that make sense? That we're rattled, we're frazzled. You know, we just don't know what to do in a situation. And we just need a little more anointing. We need to spend time in his presence. Get that anointing flowing. Get your head full of the anointing. Are you out there? Because that's what's happening. See, your head's not anointed. Oh, it's maybe anointed, but it's anointed with the news. It's anointed with TV. It's anointed with the newspaper. It's anointed with the shop talk at wherever you work. It's anointed with what everybody else has to say. But it's not anointed with God's Word. You need to let God anoint your head. Y'all getting it? Let God anoint your head. Get your head full of the Word. Because you're headed where your head is. That's where you're headed. And so, renew your mind. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, be transformed. Romans 12:2. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So, you know, David said, that anoints my head with oil, my cup runs over. It's more than I can handle. When I get my head anointed with God, when I get my head full of God's Word, when the anointing of God is on me and the presence of God is on me and I'm full of His Word and praising and worshiping Him and talking to Him, after I come out of prayer, after I come out of worship, after I come out of confessing the Word, I tell you what, my cup runs over. Where I went in with lack, and I went in with fear, and I went in with trepidation, and I went in with anticipation, and I went in, you know, with all these, this nervousness and this confusion and this doubt. When I went into prayer that way, and I stayed in prayer, and I stayed in the Word, and I worshiped and I praised, I come out with my cup running over. Are you out there? The fear was gone. And faith took its place. The confusion was gone and direction came. And vision came. And excitement came. Hallelujah. Now I'm excited about the future. Because I spent time with God. I let Him anoint my head. You just need a little more oil on your head, that's all. Yeah. The oil of the Holy Spirit. Y'all get anything out of this? Yeah. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. That's abundance. That's exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. That's nets so full of fish that they break and sink the boats. That's what that is. That's more than you can handle. That's El Shaddai, the God that's more than enough. Then he says this, surely, oh, come on, surely. You getting this? Surely. Are you kidding me? What in the world have we got to be afraid? Are you serious? Really? Surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. Man, you go through that. I mean, you take... And see, now we're not talking about just reading a Scripture. We're talking about meditating and chewing on a Scripture and taking it apart and making it personal, making some confessions and, you know, connecting it to our life, tying our destiny to this Scripture, to this promise, to this Word, to what God says, instead of tying our destiny to what the world says and connecting with what the news of the world says. No, I'm connecting with God. I want to tie myself to what God says. In doing that and going through this little by little, verse by verse, it ends up by saying, surely. Like, come on, man. For real? Do you think God wouldn't take care of you? That there's not goodness waiting on you and mercy on the other side of your life? Come on. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Next case, he says, my life. What does the future hold? Well, the path of the just, Proverbs 4:18 tells us, the path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more unto that perfect day. Not less and less, but more and more. You've come this far. You were born for such a time as this. You've never been in a better position than you are right now. You've had more prayers answered. You've seen God work more than ever before in your life. You know more about God than you ever did in your entire life than you do right now. You have seen God move. You have watched Him. You've experienced Him in your life. Now look, the future's got to get better. Because we're in a better position right now for a miracle than we've ever been. We're in a better position for deliverance than we've ever been. We've had more prayers answered. We've prayed more prayers. We've lived for God longer than ever before in our life. God's just not going to forget everything we've ever done, everything we've ever believed, every scripture we ever stood on, every promise He ever brought to pass. He doesn't just discount that and forget all that. That's building in our lives. That's building. Oh, hallelujah. Surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let me read you something before I close out here. That help you instantly? Okay, good. I hope it does. I'm not up here just preaching. I want to help you, and I want to stir you. This stirs me, you know. I mean, that's why I like to, I know I'm animated. I know I like to get into it and everything because it means so much to me. I need it just as much as anybody else does. I read this one time. I don't know where I got it, probably on email. In fact, I had it in my notes back somewhere, and I don't even know where I put it in or where I got it. But just very quickly, it won't take me long, but stay with me. Listen to this. The Lord is my shepherd. That's relationship. I shall not want. That's supply. He makes me lie down in green pastures. That's rest. He leads me beside still waters. That's refreshment. He restores my soul. That's healing. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. That's guidance. For his name's sake. That's purpose. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's challenge. I will fear no evil. That's assurance. For thou art with me. That's faithfulness. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's shelter. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That's hope. Thou anointest my head with oil. That's consecration. My cup runs over. That's abundance. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's blessing. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. That's security. Forever. That's eternity. That's powerful, isn't it? I just love that. I mean, each one of those little statements, this little thing put together, and they put something on the end. That's the way you need to read the Word. That's the way the promises of God was meant to be read. And the Psalms of all is just encouraging, uplifting, I mean, dynamic challenge to all of us. And I love David's heart and his spirit. He was a man after God's own heart, when you think about it. And God loves you just as much. So, you know, when you quote Psalms 23, think about that. You and I are going to make it. Amen. In fact, our cup runs over.